At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I do ask that because, given Canada's support of Ukraine in this current crisis with Russia, I don't know if it's far-fetched to ask, but there is concern that Russian actors could be continuing to fuel things.
Libs, how are you f***ing this up? How are the liberals f***ing this up so badly? Are you kidding me? Yeah, now every single one of you looks ridiculous. You're f***ing doing the whole Russiagate, but in Canada. It's like, oh, it's just, it's just a little bit suspect. I don't know, have you traced any of them? These anonymous donors? Now, could it be the Kremlin? We'll never know. All right. A lot of you may have heard of the trucker rally, probably from one of your favorite pundits online, or myself, who ideally is your favorite pundit online. And you've probably heard a lot of mixed things. Some people are saying that it's a group of far-right nationalists. Others are saying that it's just a bunch of concerned Canadians who are trying to achieve freedom. But it has got the attention of the world now, as well as the money of the world, as the money continues to pour in for this trucker rally. It is about to hit $10 million on GoFundMe, with not a lot of very small donations. I think I've read one report that says average donations are much higher than you would expect for something that is supposed to be a grassroots thing. Not to say that there isn't $35, $45 donations. 35% of all donations are anonymous. A lot of them are in sums of $500 to $700. There are large donos that come in the tune of $35,000, for example. And you might not also know this, but Canada has reconvened for Parliament. Yes, our Parliament is back in session. It's nowhere near as fun as British Parliament because, the accents are just great. You know, it's a mix of, there's still the bigotry. There's still the racism and stuff like that. But it's less about like order, and a lot more like, oh, Mr. Speaker, I need to say that here. We got ourselves a bit of a hoopla here. Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Anyways, this happened yesterday.
Mr. Speaker, all Canadians want to see a leader who will work to heal rifts, not further divide. A leader who will listen, even to those voices he might not agree with. A leader who will work to understand, not dismiss, name call, and gaslight. Contrary to some, there are thousands of passionate, patriotic, and peaceful Canadians on the Hill right now who just want to be heard. Will the Prime Minister extend an olive branch, and will he listen?
The Honourable Minister for Public Safety.
Mr. Speaker, I think we all support free speech in this House, but there's a big difference between free speech and inciting hatred, inciting violence, desecrating war memorials, Mr. Speaker. And I would hope my honourable colleague would denounce that in the clearest terms, Mr. Speaker. Those radical leaders are not really interested in free speech because they want to pretend as those vaccines don't work. On this side of the House, we know vaccines work. That's the gateway to freedom. And this government will do everything that we can to get there. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Member for Portage Lisker.
Of course, we all condemn hateful and destructive acts by a few at any protest. Beheading the statue of Queen Victoria in Manitoba, tearing down the statue of Sir John A. in Montreal, or putting flags on Terry Fox.
Not sure if anyone just caught what just happened there, but she's comparing the defacement of the first Prime Minister of Canada, Sir John A. Macdonald, who was, again, a white supremacist, who believed in the superiority of the Aryan race, and was one of the architects of the residential school system. And yes, his statues were defaced following the mass outrage of the systemic torture, rape of tens of thousands of Indigenous kids in this country. And now doing a good old whataboutism comparing the two.
Whether it's burning churches, whether it's wearing blackface, whether it's Hezbollah flags or Nazi flags, we all condemn it.
Still still rabble-rousing, though. Did you hear people yelling in the background? You might want to stay down. Oh, shit. No microphones in this room, but she just dropped it. She just dropped the microphone. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. People who don't want to get vaccinated and or are opposed to the vaccine mandates for truckers are the moral equivalent now of people who have suffered and survivors of the residential school system. Cool. Good to know. So that's basically what's been happening on the governmental side of things.
On Saturday, dozens of trucks and other vehicles lining up at Southern Alberta's busy Canada-US border crossing.
What we'd like to see is everything go back to the way it was in 2019 before all this started. All the mandates lifted, all the restrictions gone, and that put into legislation so this does not happen again.
Over the weekend, an Alberta government MLA joined the protests, sharing on social media, "I brought the grandkids down to the Coutts border today to show them the importance of standing up for freedom and liberty."
This is going to be an issue that our caucus needs to talk about. I think disappointed that Grant Hunter made the decision to go there and participate in that illegal blockade.
The blockade must end immediately, Kenny said on social media Sunday, before adding operational enforcement decisions are the responsibility of police services. RCMP say they're working to bring about a peaceful resolution, but protesters aren't backing down.
It's important to note that not every truck stuck in this lineup is a part of the protest. In fact, we spoke with a number of truckers who are now stuck here and just want to get home.
I'm stuck like a part of 3D. No shower, nothing, anything.
Do you feel safe?
No, anybody, no safe.
Carrying loads of goods intended for Calgary grocery stores, several truckers tell Global News they feel like hostages caught up in a blockade that does not represent them.
I'm carrying produce.
Yeah, if you're unfamiliar, this is the Alberta-U.S. border crossing that the members of the trucker convoy have effectively blocked, shutting down the U.S.-Canadian border, as well as any goods or services going in between the two, for, I believe, 4 to 5 days now.
From Sacramento, California, to Calgary. I crossed the border on Saturday. I'm over 40 hours right now here, stuck and just crossed the border.
If they have a freedom not to vaccinate, where's my freedom? I support them, but I'm the one who's stuck here. Who's suffering? Me?
By Monday afternoon, some of the truckers trapped in the protest were allowed to return to Calgary via a back road, unable to complete their American-bound deliveries as originally planned.
RCMP say they continue to negotiate with protest organizers to try and find a peaceful resolution to this border blockade. But police warn that if one cannot be found, they will move in and remove protesters by force if required. Donna?
So there's been a lot of talk about the difference between protesters in this regard who are effectively shutting down the U.S.-Canadian border and have been for several days now, and protesters of other movements in Canada, such as people protesting the old growth forests, of which there's been hundreds and hundreds of arrests, the Wet'suwet'en people and the arrests that have been made there, in comparison to what is taking place here. There's also been a call out, people saying that this is happening distinctly because the individuals in question are white. Now, there's definitely an overwhelming amount of white people in the trucker convoy protests, but that's not the only side of the story. It would be more that what is being done could be seen as being the actions that these people are undertaking, or perhaps the views or opinions that these people are undertaking, are more favorable to the RCMP, I think would be a more honest way of describing that. So additional resources tapped by the RCMP in case towing or arrests are necessary at Coutts border. The RCMP spokesman says safety remains the first priority for law enforcement as the protest drags on. The RCMP spokesman says the force was brought in additional resources in case towing or arrests are needed to protest against the COVID-19 health measures. There's no change overnight. We're still facing a blockade. The highway is still completely closed off by trucks. Since Saturday afternoon, motorists traveling to and from the United States have been caught in a large blockade of vehicles that choked off the highway from south of Lethbridge to the Canadian-US border at Coutts. The demonstration is tied to an ongoing nationwide protests over federal rules for unvaccinated or partially vaccinated Canadian truckers entering Canada from the U.S., which took effect earlier this month. The United States implemented a similar mandate on January 22nd, requiring that all U.S.-bound travelers, including truckers, show proof that they've had the required shots. We have brought in additional resources all here from Alberta to come here and be prepared for the event and hope that it doesn't come to the arrests and tow the truckers. We'll use them if they need to. I think we have some footage of the negotiations, as it were.
You know, we don't have to meet in the middle. I realize that's, you know, for everyone, not everyone's going to agree on everything. That middle, what does that look like? So how do we co-pick those? You know, so I guess it's a question I'll pose to everybody, just to think about it, to consider. You know, how do we find a way that you can still get your word up, peacefully demonstrate, while we can still maintain, you know, flow of commerce? And we want to help that happen. We want to help you get your message out. We're happy to support that message because everyone has rights that we want to support. We're ultimately here for everyone. We serve everyone. And there are a lot of interests, right? We have a lot of interest in maintaining flow through the border, but we want to make sure everyone hears heard. And we want to find a way to make that happen.
So this is a good statement here. I quite appreciate a reasoned approach by law enforcement to conflict resolution, of which I will agree. What is glaring and gut-wrenching, however, is the tactical and weaponized arrest-first approach when the protesters are not white, what suit and land defenders are subjected to aggression, not reason. Here's a statement by truckers that are caught on the other side of the border right now, looking to get home.
We are a group of people, like the Canadian truckers. We are stuck here on the Coots, Montana, Sweetgrass port of entry. The thing is that nobody is like even listening to us. Even we have talked to like Canada Border Patrol, even the US Canada Patrol. They told us like don't even like talk to us. You can't even record us. Nobody is like hearing for us. We are a lot of truckers. They don't even have food. Some of them have like the medical issues. Some of them have like asthma. Some of them have like thyroid issues. But no one is listening to us. Even when we reached to the local officials, they told us, like, we cannot do anything. Just
if
go to the nearest port of entry.
You can go 35 miles back.
Yeah. Even we have to drive, like, 50 miles back just to get our food. So if there are any MP or MLA or anyone who is in a legal...
Yeah, these truckers are stuck on the other side of the border right now. They're trying to get home to their families.
In the legislative assembly, just please help us. We cannot do anything on our own. Nobody's like, here, like, even listening to us. So please help us out. We are, like, more than 50 to 100 truckers who are stuck here like from 29th of January, and we have no clearance that when they're gonna open the border, and we have to wait until their next update. So please help us out. There are a lot of truckers who are like sitting here. They don't have anything to eat. Some of them have medical issues. So please help us out. Even like any Canadian or US MLA, MP, they need to hear our voice out. Thank you.
And you know what's wild? When I posted this video yesterday, I got so many responses like, now Lance cares about truckers. Oh, you care. Like, you have to understand this was never an issue from the other side about being exclusively about truckers' rights. I mean, the Canadian Trucker Alliance condemned this entire, carnival, whatever you want to call it, from the get-go. And they were opposed to vaccine mandates as an organization. From the very start. On top of which, like, none of the issues that actually concern truckers are being talked about or addressed. There was a really good article in The Star about this, about how there are truckers who are contract workers, or truckers who don't have adequate pay, there are truckers who don't have adequate medical benefits, all those kind of issues. Complete silence on that. This is a minority of people, less than 10% of truckers are unvaccinated, and then just being grabbed upon as a movement globally as some kind of giant protest against everything from mandates to social distancing to wearing masks to everything. It's just, it's completely been encapsulated by all of that. The Freedom Convoy, and this is from The Independent, we're making UK news now. Freedom Convoy raises more money than Canada's main political parties. The truckers have raised the equivalent of almost £6 million. And like I said, they're about to hit $10 million Canadian. The controversial Freedom Convoy, Canadian Truckers, is close to raising $10 million to support their demonstration and seeking to end political overreach, according to the GoFundMe page. This amount is higher than the money raised by major federal political players in Canada during the first quarter last year, public records with Election Canada showed. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's Liberal Party raised $3.7 million. During the last quarter, the Conservative Party raised $3 million. Starting on January 14th, Tamara Lynch, the secretary of the Separatist Maverick Party, the anti-vax group that claimed Justin Trudeau's administration is implementing rules and mandates that are destroying the foundation of our business, industries, and livelihoods. The money raised by the demonstrators will be used to pay for fuel, food, lodgings for the participating trucks. This is what they've stated in the GoFundMe. We're taking our fight to the doorsteps of the federal government and demanding that they cease all mandates against the people. The protesters have been campaigning against the use of the COVID-19 vaccine mandates that have blocked the U.S.-Canada border, preventing the trade of supplies since Saturday. It comes in the wake of a mandate pushed by the Canadian administration requiring Canadian truckers to be fully vaccinated from the 15th of January in a bid to control the spread of COVID. If vaccinated fully, the truck drivers can avoid a 14-day quarantine after crossing the border from the U.S. The protesters have argued that small businesses are being destroyed, homes are being destroyed, people are being mistreated and denied fundamental necessities to survive. Speaking of people's lives being destroyed, a number of businesses in Ottawa have all shut down as a result of them saying that they no longer feel safe in this area. As vaccine mandate protesters continue to gum up in downtown Ottawa, many are wondering how long the police will let the protesters stay and how they might eventually move them out. While many residents have been calling for an end to the noise and disruption caused by the raucous demonstrators, observers are calling on authorities to avoid public displays of force. It's in everyone's best interest that they bring some type of peaceful closure, said Jack, an associate professor of disaster and emergency management at York University. This does not mean that you do not have in the background the ability to respond with force if you need to, but if the situation gets out of hand, but probably heavy-handed use of force at this point would not be constructive. The protest now on its fifth day stated in opposition to the federal government's vaccine mandates for cross-track borders. We know all that. We've seen it as much as an hour online. Demonstrators go into the full fifth day, clear statements from the with the righteous behavior, injury, bringing arms and weapons into the national capital region. Participants in the trucker convoy have been driving through residential neighborhoods, blaring truck horns, chanting slogans. Vehicles have been restricting access to downtown Ottawa, forcing businesses to shut their doors, disrupting service centers. A COVID-19 vaccine clinic and an elementary school have been shut down. The situation is untenable. The footprint of the protesters needs to shrink. At least initially, having the protesters make the decisions to leave on their own accord would have been much better for everyone. Fines may be an option. The removal of vehicles may take place, but that is a monumental task. No one knows where this is going. Ottawa police have said the police response to the protest wouldn't answer CBC's questions about how the protesters will move their vehicles out of the city. Demands are hard to negotiate. While the main crowd has gotten smaller since the speak on Saturday, some participants, including organizers behind the GoFundMe page, have collected more than $9 million to support the convoy, have said their goal to create a logistical nightmare for the government that forces to repeal vaccine mandates. One organizational group, Canada Unity, is demanding that the government leaders either repeal the mandates or resign their lawful positions of authority immediately. But almost all COVID-19 measures to date, from mass mandates to business to school closures, have been introduced by provincial governments, not by federal ones. Law enforcement agencies have yet to actually have a sense as to how the whole thing will unfold. It represents clearly a challenge that they need to manage.
The battle against COVID-19 is still dominating so many parts of our lives. This virus affects us all. Two of my own children have now contracted it, and this morning I tested positive for COVID-19 as well. I feel well and have no symptoms. Of course, I'll be working remotely this week and will keep following public health guidelines. I want to take this opportunity to remind Canadians to please get vaccinated. It's a challenge that my family and I are facing, but there's nothing unusual or special about it.
They closed the downtown mall, which is the main hub for
people.
Too
many Canadians and people around the world know all too well. Durant cette pandémie, il y a des gens qui ont perdu des êtres.
Oh, he actually spoke for 30 minutes. Wow.
Not just of science, but of the frontline health workers and, quite frankly, the 90% of truckers who have been doing the right thing to keep Canadians safe, to put food on our tables. Canadians know where I stand. This is a moment for responsible leaders to think carefully about where they stand and who they stand with.
Okay. Wait, your prime minister speaks French? Oh, yes. Most prime ministers in Canada are bilingual. Stephen Harper was one of the ones who was famously, let's just say, inept at speaking French. But typically, you'll find we have both a English language debate and then we have a French language debate where people whose French abilities, let me just say, kind of get put to the test when they have to debate each other in a second tongue.
Patrice, prochaine question.
Next question.
Merci. La prochaine question est de Laurence Martin.
The next question is from Laurence Martin from Radio Canada.
Oui, bonjour, Monsieur Trudeau.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Trudeau.
Watched from a distance on Parliament Hill and elsewhere, where people come together angry about a certain thing, wanting something else to change, that don't see the level of hateful rhetoric, of swastikas, of abuse towards their fellow citizens. There's always a right to protest peacefully that I and others will defend fully as part of this democracy. There is not a right to incite violence, to perform acts of violence, or to spew hatred. And I think anyone who is part of this group who is disgusted by what their what the folks protesting alongside are doing needs to step up and take responsibility, condemn these actions, and look for other ways to express their displeasure.
Following up.
You talk about politicians exploiting people's fears. Who are you talking about, and what impact do you think they're having?
I think all politicians need to think very carefully about who they're supporting, about what messages they're putting out. We have seen over the past many, many months, conservative politicians sharing disinformation about vaccines, encouraging conspiracy theories.
Yeah, you have to be able to speak French if you want to have like a legitimate political career in Canada. And if you want to have a job in government positions in Canada, yeah, for the most part, you have to be bilingual. Where do I think this will end? I'm going to get to that because a lot of it is going to have to do with where the money is going, which is going to be the next thing. So Trudeau did a 30-minute, I guess, press conference addressing the rally itself today. And then he got a response from Mr. Pat King.
Hey, guys. All right. Well, some good news, great news, and some more even amazing news. So just want to let you know, we're a little dirty here.
How fluent am I in French? I am bilingual. I can speak fluent French. I went to French immersion, which is the public education system in Canada. You can take it in French if you want. So that's what my parents threw me into.
A little better. Now we're a little cleaner. Okay, so we need to start establishing some framework here. I've just got situated in a secure location. We're all good to go on my end. We're getting everybody ready to go so where we can leapfrog out from where we're at. Guys, I can't get over how friggin' amazing this is. The police last night, we've got videos of it, the police were carrying hot food in to the truck drivers. So to the Ottawa Police Services, Durham Police Services, London Police Services, Toronto Police Services, to all the police services that are out to help.
I was not expecting that, but I'm not surprised.
Thank you so much. You know, you guys did an amazing job last night, and you showed some real good compassion for these guys that are here. Understand, we are exercising our right to a peaceful protest, and we are peaceful. Mr. Fancy Socks, you just went ahead and tried to say that we're some fringe minority group. You're so wrong. This is an absolute nationwide movement. And global. So don't for one second think that you can treat us like we're some small little minority group. You also said you're out there to support protesters. You were out there to support BLM and movements that were riots, that were aggravated assaults, that were attacks on elderly people, that were all paid by open societies, by no other than Mr. Soros.
No. I was like, I bet we're getting to Soros. I felt it. I was like, oh, Soros is coming up. He's got a Soros on the tip of his tongues. Yeah, of course.
You took a knee.
There it is.
But you won't stand with the hardworking people here in Canada. You won't stand with the blue-collar workers that keep this economy running. So you're going to tell me that you'd rather have a paid agitating group like Antifa and BLM that are only in there for a political campaign to support them. But when you see hard work and everyday Canadian citizens who just want to go to work, who just want to make sure that their family's fed and make sure they have a roof over their head, and you're going to sit there and tell us you support this, or you don't support this, you're an idiot, okay? You're an idiot.
So if you're not familiar, by the way, this is Pat King. This is the guy who was on camera doing a live stream where he starts talking about the superiority of the Anglo-Saxon race and how they have the strongest bloodlines. And that's why there's a great replacement being taking place right now. He's also one of the original names that was on the list of the organizers for the current Trucker Freedom Rally. However, they've had to distance themselves from him because, yeah, his takes are just a little too spicy for mainstream media.
The people that you need to be behind and backing are these blue-collared workers, are these hard-working Canadians that put food on their table for their families, that provide for everybody, and their taxes are paid. So these people should get some recognition. But no, you want to say you're somewhere else because you don't want to support a fringe group. You're so ridiculously retarded. And for those people out there that are believing CNN, and trying to get CBC. Sorry, guys, we're just doing some adjusting here. We're just getting a command center all set up. Hang on, you're taking the table.
We're just getting the command center set up in the middle of our meal here.
Anyways, that's enough I'm going to say right now. Just know. It's going red down now. That's right. Okay. So right now, we're just getting established on this end. Now we're going to establish link ups with each truck group. So you got a truck group here. You got a truck group here in between streets. People are delegated to be those liaisons between those guys to get fuel, food, and showers. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I have two showers available. Room address is 4.
Okay, I'm not going to get that information out publicly.
And send them all the love that you can. Those guys did phenomenal.
Now, Dave of the Syrups sent me this little thread, which is a bit of a listen to tell everyone where this whole thing is headed. So here's an insight. Listening in on the convoy radio again, so people can, you know, either the online groups, people jump in there just to hear what's going on, or they listen to the radios that are being used to communicate between the truckers. It's a work day for me, so the updates will be slow. Mostly just people saying good morning and the usual pleasantries. Someone has broken down in Ottawa. Peace, love, and diesel, everybody. They are concerned that morale is low and the truckers are wanting to go home. Shocker. They've set up Adopt a Trucker so people can feed the truckers. Call me crazy, but I feel like there was a GoFundMe for this very purpose. A lot of people in the convoy are getting stranded with kids and no food. Who are these parents? The trolls are on. The mods sound really demoralized. Lots of arguing. I'm giggling about this karma. Someone asks if anyone has hosed the piss off the tomb of the unknown soldier. Now they're mad at the military. Not sure why. Brittany is back to being a mod. She sounds exhausted. Now they're saying that 1.4 million people were there. No. Not even close. Very Trumpian, though, with those numbers. They seem surprised that people are listening to this and telling people not to share personal information. I guess they're new to the internet. Somebody doesn't know the difference between the Senate and Trudeau. I'm not joking. Morale is not good. Antifa stole my piss jugs. These trolls are life. Local business owner inviting any truckers out there who are looking for food to eat my ass. They did not like that one. Oh no, they're singing. They want to call out the cyber police on the trolls. They're cute. They're singing the Star Spangled Banner lyrics to the O Canada melody, and I feel like I'd rather just use slurs at this point. Trudeau is speaking in 10 minutes. I don't know if this is true. Trudeau has COVID. This is confirmed. Thanks to someone for Safe Schools for giving one of the Trudeau kids COVID. Someone posted a link to the press conference. It was porn. The trolls got to click on porn. Some casual ableism making fun of children with speech impediments. These people are lovely. They're singing the convoy song, and this is all I can think of. They think Amy should have been signed to a record label. Hard to disagree. They're sharing song titles now. A lot of kid rock. Someone suggested Rage Against the Machine without a hint of irony. Seriously, they never actually listened to the lyrics for most of these songs. They just heard the word free and latched on. Why did they do this? Oh, and they're excited to hear what Alex Jones has to say about the whole event. Yep, there it is. Trudeau's going live at 11:15 a.m. Sweetie, it's 11:22. Someone, Meemaw, just joined. Very confused. The kids want to chime in. Guys, it's Monday. The kids are in school. Let's hear those kids. Complete silence. Don't fly drones over restricted airspace. Why does this need to be said? They're listening to Trudeau speak. They're mad at what he's saying. Rants about him lying. He's not. Someone said that this is the Hunger Games. Dear reader, I don't think he's read those books. Now they're crying. Now they're singing again. I really hate the singing. Someone said it's time to double down on this government. I don't know what that means. They're going to do a slow roll. Translation, please. They sound galvanized. Someone from Chicago is saying the U.S. government has set up camps for them. I'm going to need to fact check that. Pat King is live. This should be interesting. They're mad at Trudeau because he talked about white supremacists, but they also want their leader, Pat King, who is admitted white supremacist, to speak on the movement. Guys, come on. They have porn ads. Wow, this has been on a while. They're yelling at the mods. They're threatening the trolls. We have internet teams with ISIS. Thank God for Pat King, y'all. Someone is sad that the streets of Ottawa aren't busy. I think he's lovely. The mods don't want them to talk about Pat King, but they keep on talking about how great Pat King is. Back to positive vibes. No more politics. They're singing. No. Announcement. Trolls are coming. Okay, we had a smart person. We're not supposed to talk about politics here, but isn't this protest political? At least someone understands. Someone suggested that the truckers block off all entrances and exits to the city. Star Spangled Banner nonstop today. Not sure why. The baby shark horn will be forever in my nightmares. Someone asked for the Mexican national anthem for North American unity. Silence. Hats off to that troll. There's a situation at the 302 Coventry. They need more people to unblock the way. Not sure if that will help. Hey, truckers, the police are blocking your way. Other truckers can't resolve that for you. You're stuck. The Quebec truckers have been stuck for 48 hours. Trolls are back. Welcome to the cum zone. Whoa, the guy has an old-timey accent that sounds like he's in the musical Guys and Dolls. Anywho, he's talking about the stuck truckers who feel abandoned. Sorry, guys, this is what happens when you trust a grifter. And now an announcement from Pat King. He's getting everybody in the city to section by section. Yeah, that's not going to happen. We're back in the cum zone. Can I ask why they're still working with Pat King? I thought he was bad. He's a great guy and the original organizer. He's amazing. I'm pretty sure he's a well-documented white supremacist. Fight, 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 fight. Just keeps going. More Pat chat. Lots of confusion. Someone is asking this one supporter why he's upset about Pat King's white supremacist rhetoric. Dude, you don't know why? The absolute Caucasian. They're now yelling at this lady who has a genuine concerns about the racism, but they're not racist. They block a trucker who is upset about racism. They've dropped their masks, guys. Lady changed the lyrics to O Canada to make it about the truckers. We're back in the Ram Ranch. Lots of butt sex in the Ram Ranch. The first rule about the racist convoy, do not talk about racism in the convoy. A sweary troll, I love the sweary trolls. Someone asked where Tamara is and what is happening to the GoFundMe money. We're not going to talk about that here. Pat King said she went AWOL. Oop. I wonder if any of these people know that they don't have anything to say, they don't have to sing. I think they're missing $9 million as an emergency to the truckers. They're just starting to eat their own. It's getting juicy. People have been giving a Métis supporter a hard time about his Métis flag. What a classy bunch. The truckers gave this construction worker the courage to come out. I don't think he knows what that means. Oh, bless. They think that these are the reason why indoor dining is allowed in Ontario. That's adorable. Somebody suggested the street cameras are being doctored to make it look like there's no support. The paranoia of these people. And now a prayer circle. I pray that Tamara comes back with the money and we can all have a sweaty celebration at the Ram Ranch. Religion is not allowed anymore. It's not about religion. It's about the Lord. Welcome to the cum zone. Almost the whole audio was played this time. Mods are slipping. Now they're talking about a convoy to Toronto. Shit. Remember, for every time a troll that comes, they have to listen to us. We're trolling them. Oh, Jerry, you have no idea. Welcome to the cum zone again. Fresh balls. The Dementors are picking up trucks. Quick PSA. Fuck turfs. Cowboy showers at the Ram Ranch. The lady is complaining that she can't hug her family without asking them about vaccination status. Lady doesn't understand boundaries. Lots of anti-vax talk. I thought this wasn't about vaccines. Oh, apparently we've never had freedom. Did you guys know this? Dude, I want to tell a story about my grandpa who was a trucker. The last thing he said to me was Ram Ranch. This has been a troll heavy hour. They found the subreddit and they're coming from. These sweet summer children think they can shut down the Reddit. Are you serious? Oh no, too many trolls. Can we shut down our own Reddit? We're back in the cum zone, guys. This one troll is driving the mods bananas. More questions about Tamara and the money is. They don't like this question. I'm going to talk about Tamara, by the way. Tamara is one of the creators of the GoFundMe for the truckers and apparently is AWOL right now after the $1 million got released and is also one of the key organizers of Wexit, which is the movement in Canada to basically separate Alberta and Western Canada and have them join the U.S. One of them tried to do math. It went exactly as you'd expect. Person one, are we associated with Pat King? He's turning me off. Person two, Pat King has more integrity than Justin Trudeau. Person three, Pat King gave me gonorrhea. Person four, we do not talk about Pat King. Amazing. They're laughing about causing trauma. They have made some of the trolls moderators. The trolls are the best. They have... Oh my god, it's so many people who don't know how to internet. This one woman joined the movement because she was in an emergency room. There was enough staff to help someone having a stroke. She was almost close to getting it. Caroline is an hour outside of town looking for directions to the Ram Ranch. The mods are losing it. These guys definitely allowed some trolls to be mods. They are super new to the internet. None of them can figure out how to listen to the question period of the House of Commons. In case anyone was wondering, if any of these people have understanding of the government, it's almost all trolls now. They don't know what to do. They think there's a majority for support of them because there aren't a lot of counter-protests. That's not how this works. They've talked about this poll. They think it means that they should stay. Be a shame if y'all voted in it. Poll results. They think that using Facebook will stop the trolls. Not quite sure how. Dear reader, I'm about to tell you something that may shock you. These people don't know that VPNs are a thing. Someone just said that the trolls were going to hell. Sir, we're already here. New troll song. There's no cock like horse cock. Someone just said Pat King for Prime Minister. And someone suggested the PPC. I think they have slept through the election where the PPC didn't win a single seat. Someone just said they need to figure out how they will fill the void when Trudeau steps down. You guys, I'm starting to think these people don't understand government. We now have Gandhi quotes. These truckers are running out of gas again, can't figure out how to get it. They are going to mute or ban anyone who talks about politics. Did they forget that's what we're doing? There's a baby shark horn. I was just about to say that it seemed the trolls were backing off. And then another welcome to the cum zone. Someone just asked how the truckers are in Ottawa. What's the plan? Well, my dear, that's the $9 million question. Someone needs a mechanic. A troll said that he's a mechanic at the Ram Ranch. Oh, someone's auntie thinks it's a real place and is adamant because someone in chat said they stayed there last night. I almost feel bad for her. Almost. Freedom lovers want to report the trolls to the police. Seriously, someone said that. More chatter about whether or not the Ram Ranch is a real place or not. They can't shake the cum zone troll. This is so off the rails. They're trying to find a broken down trucker on Bank Street. Methinks it might have been a troll. Y'all, they just figured out that women know how to troll. I have no words. Wait, some of these trolls are femoids? What's happening? One of the guys who's been on here all day says, don't these trolls have jobs? Don't you? Dude, tell the trolls they're just wasting a nice guy's time. Yeah, that's the point. You trolls are just wasting nice people's time. I have learned a new word, chuckle fuck. I love it. One dude said he's looking for a place to stay tonight. He's been here since Friday. Remember what I said about their ability to plan? I found common ground with one of these truckers. He's over all the singing. They're talking about the white supremacy again. Lots of denial, but they all love Pat King. Looks like the kids are done for school for the day. A lot of them chiming in. Someone suggested the blocking the roads in downtown Ottawa. Please don't do that. Emergency services still need to get through. Man from Quebec is getting impatient. He wants to know how long until they win. Oh, honey. They're saying that it's the residents of Ottawa who are tired of this. Own fault for living there. Someone encouraged people to keep donating to the GoFundMe. Probably not a good idea. They're now saying that they're there until they flatten the curve. I'm confused. Very confused. One woman just said she's not afraid to get violent. Oopsie. Mennonites are apparently on their way on horseback. Interesting. Apparently people were pulling the tails off the police horses. What? Whoa, one of these guys said that there was truth to Justin Trudeau's words. Every once in a while someone gets a brain. They don't want to use WhatsApp because it's owned by Facebook, but all of their organizing has been done on Facebook. One dude wants to set up a memorial for people who were hurt by the mandates. No mention about a memorial for the people who died of COVID. Priorities. We've got cream pies fresh from the Ram Ranch. These truckers are now regaling us about their day on the road. Riveting stuff. We're learning about Mennonites now. It's a strange tangent. One man is being asked to bring his children around to the Mennonites. They're talking about the weather, kind of boring. They have their butt in their arse. Okay, I'm trying to figure out the logistics of this. According to the Convoy Radio, Rebel News has been flying drones around Parliament. You know, like a crime. I'm a bit of a sticker for grammar, so the sentence structuring I'm hearing. Someone thinks that the trolls have something to do with the Liberal government. They know nothing about Gen Z. You guys remember the convoy has influenced the UK government? That sounds true. There's a lineup for Cox at the Ram Ranch. Sounds serious. They're singing again. I never thought I'd get this annoyed by a national anthem. Somebody took pictures of freedom. I want to see those. This prayer mentions the enemy. Guys, are we the enemy? An indigenous man asked that we not pray. In response, they're going to continue praying, but they won't say which god they're praying to. I don't think they get it. They're arguing about praying. The Christians are offended about mods trying to keep the chat non-religious. Poor oppressed Christians. One of them just started praying. Sheesh. Taking a wee break. Then after a break, I opened it and they're still praying. Somebody asked if the trolls aren't doing anything illegal. I think they're surprised by this. That didn't last long. Somebody wants to send IP addresses to CSIS. Somebody was now sending love for Toronto. He pronounced it the second T. If you know, you know. Someone did a Muslim prayer. Some guys are mocking it. Others are being kind of kind about it. It's a mixed bag. They're talking about Sam Hyde, who died for the cause. You guys, this didn't happen. Sam Hyde is a comedian. They're saying they hate wearing masks because they don't like smelling their own breath. That's a self-burn there. One guy was wondering if there are any concessions from the government. Oh, muffin. More bad singing. More veiled threats against the Prime Minister. Followed by kids talking. I'm not sure if it's the best parenting strategy to have your kids hearing this. Truckers are crying over a poem now. Some Islamophobia from a troll. Not cool. How are they paying for all these mechanics when they all have a GoFundMe? Is the money MIA? Oh, God, it's just Travis doing this out of pocket. He's been running out of funds. He seems like a nice guy, but he's been taken for a ride. So Travis is fixing everyone's trucks and doesn't have a place to stay. No one is offering to help him. These people are swell. Oh dear, they're crying. Dude used all his money to get to Ottawa, and his car is dead, and he has nothing left. He sounds very rough. Someone is asking why they haven't gotten the GoFundMe money. Tamara screwed these guys. It's really sad how so many people have fallen for the grift over the past few years. We need to have a long, hard look about how this happens and how to stop it. On a completely serious note, all the jokes aside, this one is pretty accurate. All is quiet. I think they've shut it down. Back up a very sweet-sounding moment trying to explain statistics. Someone responded by yelling, enough with the propaganda. Yes, math is propaganda. Now it's conspiracy hour. Now polio didn't exist. What? Now Fox E wants to call Joe Rogan. There was a free-for-all arguing with trolls. Boston is teaching people about VPNs. They spent a lot of time talking about trolls, but they keep saying the trolls have not gotten to them. There's a party going on downtown. Did I mention that it's peaceful? Anyways, this I think could go on. I could probably do this for like the next hour. But that probably brings me to a good time to talk about the GoFundMe. So this is the Freedom Convoy, currently at $9.7 million. And the team fundraiser, Tamara Litch. Tamara Litch is one of the founders of the Maverick Party. The Maverick Party, formerly known as the Wexit Canada, is Canada's federal political power, is a Canadian federal political party. It advocates for constitutional changes to benefit or the independence of Western Canada, which includes British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and three territories. The party has its roots in Alberta separatism. The party planned to run candidates across the aforementioned provinces and three territories in the 2021 federal election, but it did not run candidates in ridings where there's a strong possibility of electing a Liberal or New Democratic candidate. The party has been led by a former Conservative Party House leader, Jay Hill, since the resignation of the party's first leader, Peter Downing. Hill came out of retirement to act as an interim leader with the Maverick Party until the election of a new leader. Hill said he wants the party to serve a purpose in Western Canada to what the Bloc Québécois has done for Quebec. It's also associated with a lot of far-right organizations in this country as well. Okay, so this person did a pretty good breakdown of the whole thing.
I'm a little frustrated. I'm reading about this fucking convoy to Ottawa, and Global News, it like isn't reporting about it right at all. Here they say Trudeau says it's a fringe minority, they hold unacceptable views that don't represent the way most Canadians feel. He made the comments in a press conference Wednesday evening on the heels of Global News reports that far-right and white nationalist groups see the convoy as an opportunity. See the convoy as an opportunity. It was organized by far-right and white nationalist groups. This is the official GoFundMe. I don't know how the fuck they raised $6.5 million now. They just cashed out $1 million an hour ago, by the way. Organized by Tamara Litch, okay? Who's that? Well, she's the secretary of the Maverick Party. What the fuck's the Maverick Party? Ever heard of Wexit? Western Exit? The Alberta Separatist Movement? Literally seceding from Canada like the opposite of patriotism? That thing? That thing started by far-right conspiracy theorists convinced that the current policy of immigration seeks to depopulate the white Anglo-Saxon race? Founded by this guy right here, Pat King, who is literally a listed fucking organizer of the convoy. This is not people taking advantage of the convoy. This is racists organizing the convoy. White nationalist racists. Not taking advantage of, organizing it. Look at this. Convoy 2022 support literally asking for donations to Pat King's personal fucking bank account. Why, when people are talking about this, are they saying it's like maybe somehow possibly connected to or being taken advantage of by the alt-right? It's literally organized by the alt-right. The money is going to Tamara Litch, who, again, is the secretary of the Wexit Party. This is stupid.
So Pat King has now announced that apparently Tamara Litch is MIA. That was one of his latest announcements. I don't know how true that is. I mean, Pat King, again, is a alt-right white nationalist. But this kind of goes into that whole grifto side thing. $1 million was released by GoFundMe. GoFundMe is still holding the rest of the funds, trying to discern what exactly is happening. Who are the organizers? What are their demands? What will the money be used for? But if Tamara Litch is MIA and that $1 million that has been released is not being distributed to all these truckers who are now stuck, many of whom whose trucks now need repairs, as you can tell from the discussions that are going on in the background, the whole thing might be alt-righters grifting alt-righters. I mean, there's not confirmation of that yet, but it's definitely not looking good on that side of things. Large number of donations to support the convoy came from aliases and unnamed donors. At least a third of the donations to the GoFundMe campaign set up to the support the convoy of trucks headed to Ottawa to protest vaccine mandates came from anonymous sources or were attributed to fake names. While thousands of Canadians and Canadian businesses have dipped into their pockets to fund the cause, thousands of other donors to the campaign are simply listed as anonymous. As of 6:30 Thursday, of the top 10 donations, all over $10,000 were listed as anonymous, including the single largest donation of $25,000. It's now the single largest is $35,000. While the campaign is fundraising for Canadian political protests, some donations appear to have come from outside of Canada. Based on comments left by the donors of the GoFundMe, some donations were made using the names of other people. Amongst them, the most common donor name on the GoFundMe is Justin Trudeau, Sophie Trudeau, and Theresa Tam, the name of Canada's chief public health officer. On Thursday afternoon, $25,000 donation was listed, coming from Sophie Grégoire. It disappeared minutes later. Officials in the Prime Minister's office and Tam's office confirmed that neither the Trudeaus nor Tam donated any money. Other listed donors identified themselves as Fidel Castro, Justin Trudeau's dad, Justin Trudeau's conscience, Dump Trudeau, or used a number of other phrases laden with obscenities. Some aliases were less obvious. A $15,000 donation Wednesday afternoon was put under the name of David Fisman at the top of the GoFundMe list. Dr. David Fisman is a professor of epidemiology at Toronto's Dalhousie School of Public Health and said his family name is rare because it was a result of a spelling error made when his family immigrated. Given that, however, whoever did this also wrote, "Follow me on Twitter in the comments," and have a fairly well-known by Canadian standards verified Twitter account with over 110,000 followers that seems to be much detested and disparaged by opponents of the vaccines and public health measures. I think it's reasonable to assume that this was intended to be seen as a donation that I had made, said Fisman. Donations to the convoy have been growing rapidly. When this article was published, they were at 6.4 million, but yeah, now they're at 9. There's a lot of money coming from abroad. A number of donors identified themselves in the comments as living abroad in countries such as the United States, Australia, England, or Poland. It's not possible to know how many people from outside Canada donated to the fundraising page. GoFundMe says donors misrepresenting themselves is a violation of the terms of service, and it removes and refunds those donations. However, it has not yet responded to questions about what, if anything, it has done regarding the donations to the Freedom Convoys page using invented names or the names of other people. Alexander Reed Ross, a Portland, Oregon-based senior fellow at the Center for Analysis of the Radical Right, says GoFundMe has often been used to raise money for political causes, although the protest convoy has raised more money than most. GoFundMe has been used for political actors all across the spectrum. It has been used by right-wingers to support people who are going to jail, to pay for their bail, to pay for lawyer fees, and things like that. Conspiracy theorists. You have a lot of conspiracy theorists who think that if they float their name out there on a GoFundMe campaign, that they will be added to a government watch list. You also have a lot of people who think that they aren't comfortable with putting their name out there on the internet. There's a variety of reasons why someone would want to donate anonymously. It wouldn't be surprising at all that their number one objective is to destabilize a political climate that enables liberal democracy, so they will empower whatever political tendency might mitigate against liberal democracy for whatever reason. NDP Charlie Angus said the GoFundMe is a valuable tool to help raise money for good cause, but he's troubled by people donating money anonymously to political causes. I'm sorry, if you're putting big money into a cause like this, and big money being like $10,000+, and it's political and you're calling for an overthrow of the medical standards that we have in place, I don't think you get to hide behind anonymity. I think we're going to watch what happens and to see if lessons need to be learned from this entire process. Soft police approach to Ottawa and the anti-vax protest reveals pure racism, say the critics. The mild-mannered police response to the weekend blockade of downtown Ottawa by thousands of protesters opposed to pandemic restrictions reveal a racist double standard in how law enforcement agencies treat civil disobedience, some observers say. Had Indigenous activists been making the same threats, broke the same laws, and engaged in the same level of disruption, they'd probably be met with heavy-handed crackdown, says Mi'kmaq lawyer and Professor Pam Palmwater told IPTN News. I have no doubt that this is pure racism involved. Are people allowed to threaten the life of the Prime Minister? I'm wondering about that because I guarantee you that if an Indigenous person or a Black person said that, they'd now be sitting in jail. Yesterday, I showed the super racist mocking of Indigenous songs where they were just singing Yabba Dabba Doo over and over. Turns out one of the drums that was used in that circle has been stolen, and people are trying to get it back. I retweeted it on my Twitter account if you want to try and find that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm down here with a police officer in Ottawa. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
How's it been down here?
Nothing but good. People are super good. The truckers have been having a good time. They've been getting their point across. And you know what? It's a beautiful city that we're in, and they can't ignore all of this, right?
Absolutely. No, thank you very much.
Well, that's awkward. Well, that didn't go as planned. Truckers break through the RCMP road blocks at the Coutts AB border crossing. So the people asking how this is going to end, the actual border blocking in Alberta, like that is such a major event that is stopping you know, the transport of goods in both directions, not to mention stranding a lot of people. I can see the RCMP eventually, which is, it's still wild how many days they've just let this go by while they're trying to do peaceful negotiations. But I can see the RCMP eventually having to take a very hard stance against this. And again, yes, the double standard is incredibly striking. In terms of the truckers themselves in Ottawa, if the truckers aren't going to be receiving the majority of that money that has been fundraised, because that's the one thing that can continue funding this entire project for, you know, an infinite amount of time, if that money gets released and then that money gets put into the pockets of all the people who, again, a lot of people are there with their kids. As much criticism as I want to have for this entire, you know, clown shoes operation, obviously, I think the safety and security of the children should also be put into account. And I think that, you know, whatever needs to be done to make sure that kids are not going without food, are not going without shelter, should obviously be a priority, regardless of what you think the politics are involving the people involved in this entire thing. If they're not going to get funds, and a lot of them are losing morale as, you know, trolls continue to flood their discussion groups and stuff, then it could be a thing where people slowly break down and the numbers continue to dwindle. It could be a, one of those, you know, one of those situations. The lead spokesman for the anti-vax convoy protests that have shut down Canada's nation capital says he's okay with protesters flying Confederate flags in Ottawa because he wants to hear unacceptable opinions. Benjamin Ditcher, a failed candidate for both the Conservative Party and the People's Party, a failed People's Party candidate? How did that happen? Participated in, oh, as in failed as in he wasn't elected, or did he even get, all right, anyways. Participated in a Twitter space discussion with a pair of highly controversial former Rebel media personalities, Keen Bexty and Lauren Southern. What a surprise. During a Twitter space chat hosted by Bexty, Ditcher was asked about the photos circulating the hate symbols of the convoy, including multiple Confederate flags and flags displaying Nazi swastikas. While Ditcher claimed the swastikas was a false flag operation carried out by the federal government, he did not condemn the Confederate flag. I was laughing at the ridiculousness. It's hysterical, the convoy organizer said. They're trying to scare people because fear is the strongest emotion of persuasion. Let's assume that there are guys there who did have a Confederate flag. They believe in the Confederacy of the states' rights of a foreign nation. I don't care. I'm not here to police people's ideas. Referencing Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's claims that the convoy includes far-right extremists with unacceptable opinions, Ditcher suggested that displaying the Confederate flag as a symbol associated with the support for slavery could be a good thing. I want to hear unacceptable opinions because I want to challenge them. At no point during the half-hour conversation with Bexty and Southern did Ditcher challenge the legitimacy of the Confederate flag, a symbol for the support of slavery. I wonder if Destiny knows about this little interchange that took place.
So what is your response to, you know, what we've been seeing today on social media?
I was laughing at the ridiculousness of it. It's hysterical. I mean, first is I see those pictures and I want to type hashtag find the Fed. You know, like, who within the government's taking a Confederate flag? So we're taking a flag from a foreign country that has absolutely zero context in the Canadian experience. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to scare people. That's it. Because fear is the strongest emotion of persuasion. But it's not working because they don't have credibility anymore. And, you know, there's, you know, this organization I just laughed at. I just typed to them called CJA. And I explained that, you know, my community, my religious community,
they've been flying MAGA flags, they've been flying swastikas, they've been flying, like, the rising sun, all that kind of stuff. But I guess because it doesn't have correct historical context, it doesn't matter.
The leaders, if you will, who are all this particular organization, the guy's up Trudeau's ass because he wants to be a senator. So what's he doing? They're just pushing propaganda to scare people. And it's laughable. It's ridiculous. Whatever. Who cares? And you know what? Let's assume there were people here who do have a Confederate flag. They believe in the Confederacy of states' rights in a foreign nation. I don't care. I'm not here to police people's ideas. Whether they have good ideas, bad ideas, stupid ideas, that is what is on the horizon, is this golden age where we're all going to start to talk to each other. And we may have opinions we disagree with. And the biggest mistake Justin Trudeau ever did was he branded unacceptable opinions. That's perfect, because I want to hear unacceptable opinions because I want to challenge them. And that's what we're going to be moving to in the future. So
Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson, who has faced criticism over the city's response after drunken protesters desecrated the War Memorial and were allowed to camp out on city streets, criticized organizers for failing to control their own supporters. The organizers have not once condemned anti-Semitism with the Nazi symbol or Confederate flags. They should be ashamed of themselves, and at the end of the day, they're not getting any public support. It's dwindling, frankly. Multiple flags bearing Nazi swastikas have been spotted over the weekend. Conservative MP Michael Cooper is facing calls to resign after appearing in a TV interview in support of the rally with the swastika appeared over his shoulder. Ditcher told Bexty in Southern that unfortunate MPs will no longer want to be seen with the convoy. You can see the fuck Trudeau things and the swastika right there. The weasels got to work and they're all cowards, the convoy organizer said. A big scary truck, they can't be around that. Ditcher also indicated that the convoy's anti-vaccine protesters are preparing plans to occupy downtown Ottawa for many days. I imagine they're going to try and do something to get us to disperse, Ditcher continued, and if they do, that's okay because we have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. This will go on for a while. The good thing about trucks is that they have this wonderful thing. They're very self-sufficient and they have houses attached to them, the convoy organizer explained. It can sit there and be idle for a week easily. So we have staying power. Things are in flux and they're fluid, and we have a bunch of different strategies we don't really want out in the public because we want to see how the government is going to respond. Local officials as well have faced criticism for being too accommodating to the convoy protesters, a number of whom have been spotted flying Nazi swastika flags, Confederate flags, a flag associated with a 3% terrorist group, and other hate symbols. On Monday, Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson, for example, warned against ticketing the convoy protesters because he thinks it could incite them into violence. The Canadian Anti-Hate Network note that Ditcher, during the failed run as a candidate for the People's Party of Canada, claimed at a press conference that Islamic entryism is rotting away our society like syphilis. On Facebook, Ditcher has been linked to several posts from the anti-Muslim conspiracy page Crusade Against Islamification Around the World. On Twitter, he has shared conspiratorial posts, some from jihadwatch.org and others regarding the Jewish billionaire George Soros, a common trope on the far right. In one tweet, Ditcher, who says he is Jewish, wrote the billionaire George Soros is the enemy not only of Jews around the world, but of all Western democracies. Several conservative MPs, including leader Aaron O'Toole, have taken part in demonstrations linked to the anti-vaccine freedom convoy, despite warnings that far right and extremist groups were helping organize the demonstrations. Conservative MP Jerry Patzer was photographed with one convoy organizer. Pat King previously linked to a violent attack on anti-racist demonstrators and calls for further violence against COVID-19 health precautions. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you need silly lefties like myself telling you and pointing out the numerous ties that not only the organizers of this entire thing have to the far right. And I mean, if you want to keep trying to distance yourself from Pat King, well, at the same time, a lot of people in the actual channels dealing with the truckers are celebrating Pat King as some kind of a hero. Pat King is like an avowed white nationalist. He's one of the people who's proud to say on camera with mask off that like he believes in the superiority of the Anglo-Saxon race because they have stronger bloodlines than other races. Like, and the shitty thing as well is that the media in Canada have kind of just gone for one of two things. It's either like, flags, bad flags, people bad because of this, but they don't do any investigation into the actual money that has been funneled into this and the organizers themselves. I haven't seen any articles on Tamara Lich and her involvement with this entire thing, or have any credible updates as to what happened to Tamara Lich and the first $1 million that has been distributed from the entire organization. Just want to bring attention to this. The photo of the drum below is a drum that belongs to my friend's family and was stolen several years ago. Someone in the convoy in Ottawa has been pictured with this drum. The convoy person was drumming this drum. Please pass along this photo with the same message that it needs to be returned. It could be returned to me, Sandra, or my friend's family directly. Whoever has the drum, I can put them in contact with my friend's family. So a stolen drum was used to sing the Flintstones song at Ottawa's convoy protest. Any hoot from my friend posted this photo. Many other object to the stolen. Andy helped recuperate some crest baskets. Repost from respected Two-Spirit Elder. So yeah, if you see more people using the specific one with the frog and the Canadian flag in the background, apparently it is a stolen drum on the hill. Finally, the Freedom Convoy descends on Ottawa, throwing city streets into chaos, with Ottawa residents reporting that they are too afraid to leave their homes. Some of the convoy participants have dug their heels in, vowing to stay until their demands are met. The first weekend of the Freedom Convoy has passed, and while the police have not released official numbers of the crowd, observers say the total numbers have reached into the multiple thousands. The end of the weekend has seen many visitors who rolled into the nation's capital heading home, and the highways on Sunday night saw no shortages of vehicles heading from Ottawa, with signs and flags still in tow. What remains outside of Parliament and its surrounding streets are fleets of semi-trucks, commercial vehicles, RV campers, and people who are digging in with the over $9 million raised for the effort. Swarming across Wellington Street, the crowd shuffled into the sidewalks, often between the blocks of parked trucks that occupy the asphalt. While the vast majority of participants were nonviolent, violence did occur both and around the Hill on Saturday. Many participants rejected the notion that the convoy or its supporters were somehow entangled in Canada's various hate networks. In many cases, defiantly embracing the quotes of the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, tilting themselves as a fringe minority, holding unacceptable views. However, despite claims of racism and hate being unacceptable during these events by organizers, observers of the 3 days and two nights of the convoy descended upon Ottawa indicate that in addition to the violence, both harassment and vandalism occurred throughout the downtown core. Journalists and the crew reported being assaulted by having cans of beer hurled at them or attacked by convoy participants as they tried to work. Others reported harassment, and according to the Canadian Association of Journalists, a photograph shows one convoy participant performing a Sieg Heil or Nazi salute. The photographer said it is unmistakably a Sieg Heil, thrown repeatedly at a time with the honking of the horns. There are also multiple instances of swastikas being displayed on the Hill and nearby, while the anti-Semitic display of swastikas stylized and designed to criticize the government and vaccines and vaccine mandates have become common sight of the protests. One large version of Adolf Hitler's National Socialist Workers' Party flag was flown and photographed on Saturday. From the only hate symbol on site, the U.S. Confederate flags were also being flown. Protesters have begun to claim one person was doing so as a plant made to make them all look bad. However, several individuals wandering the Hill have also worn patches of clothing emblazoned with the symbol of the Confederacy. A semi was also seen displaying the flag of the Three Percenters across his hood, an American-based far-right militia group with a small membership base in Canada. It was designated as a terrorist entity in Canada in June 2020. In the crowd, a handful of members of the Islamophobic hate group La Meute stood in approximation of the Biker Gang jackets. In a similar apparel, anti-vaccine groups Fafada appeared. Lesser known to Farfada's membership includes Stephen Charlin, a one-time leader of La Meute, who also appears to have an appearance on Saturday. Most notably, members of the Plaid Army Streaming Collective chose to remain away from the protest site on Saturday. A few supporters did arrive, and none of them waved the black and white flag, a symbol of the fictional country of Diaghilon. I know right now some people who don't follow hate groups in Canada might be like, what the fuck are you saying right now? Lance, I mean, like, I know the Boogaloo Boys for a long time just sounded kind of like a meme, where it's like they've got an igloo in their symbol and they wear Hawaiian shirts and all this, and there's a lot of lore in some of these groups, to say the least. But anyways, let's go back. A few supporters did arrive. None of them waved the black and white flag, a symbol of the fictional country of Diaghilon that was seen flying from multiple branches of the cross-country convoy during its push towards the capital. Before the rally, we and other news outlets made note of the statement made during the Plaid Army live stream by Derek Rance Harrison, saying that he hoped to see an event in Ottawa similar to the events at the U.S. Capitol building on January 6. The resulting attention led to him and many others taking more subdued approaches to their attendance. De facto, Plaid Army Diaghilon leader Jeremy McKenzie and Derek Harrison holed up in their hotel rooms on Saturday, citing an inevitable false flag plot to foil the convoy supporters. McKenzie and Harrison instead chose to stream throughout the day, saying earlier that it would be proof that they were not present on the Hill. So they're trying to, like, you know, play their cards close to the chest. Amongst those there, however, was Canada First host and white nationalist Tyler Russell, flanked by supporters, including one waving the signature CF flag on his network. He was joined by friend and Plaid Army supporter Dan Slino, as well as Shane Marshall. Marshall is the former riding manager for the recently failed election People Party of Canada candidate Chelsea Hillier, and is currently facing charges for allegedly throwing a handful of gravel at Justin Trudeau. Oh, that's who that is. We previously revealed that the Marshall also posted white supremacist music about killing immigrants to one of his many social media accounts. Before arriving to Ottawa for the protest, Russell had posted a telegram asking his followers to post HH for Hong Kong to our truckers. His fan obliged, with one posting, "Lamau just realized it means HH is for Hail Hitler," shorthand for the white power spaces. Significant strain placed on local businesses. At the first night of the convoy, Ottawa remained snarled by the traffic of the parliament down to the center town of the neighborhood. Much of the group, supporters and truckers alike, spent that time partying late into the night. Despite the large amounts of funds raised, it appears food was not available to all those involved. Businesses in the surrounding area did not close ahead of the protests and were swarmed with customers, many reported refusing to wear masks. According to the Shepherds of Good Hope, a local soup kitchen and shelter, convoy participants who were turned away from the restaurant after refusing to wear a mask arrived at the shelter demanding to be fed by the facility staff. Our staff and volunteers experienced harassment from the convoy protesters seeking meals from our soup kitchen. The individuals were given meals to defuse the conflict. Management was then informed on the issue, but no further meals were given to the protesters. Our soup kitchen is committed to providing meals to people experiencing the risk of homelessness in Ottawa. This weekend's events have caused significant strain to our operations at an already difficult time. Officials working with the shelter told the Ottawa Citizen the protesters' behavior was mob-like and complained that the parked vehicles blocked the shelter, making it difficult for ambulances to reach their facility and for staff to assist the community members in need. Disturbingly, according to the shelter's president, convoy participants assaulted a client of the shelter and hurled racial slurs at a security guard who attempted to intervene. On an audio recording at the Zello Channel, a walkie-talkie app that convoy participants are using to communicate with others, convoy participants said they felt entitled to these services intended to help individuals with housing or food security in center town. One user said they are homeless in Ottawa, which he called hostile, and shared conspiracy theories that Justin Trudeau is paying restaurants to not serve them. "You bet, brother," another participant replied. "Those resources are there to help you guys as well." A statement from police Sunday morning indicates that there were no arrests made Saturday night related to the convoy, though multiple reports from the city allege harassment and disorderly conduct, amongst them the accusation of a home that was pelted with rocks and snow, as well as vandalized with human feces, all for flying a pride flag in their window. Holy shit. One of the members of McKinney's ward had rocks and snowballs thrown at her window because she had a pride flag hung up. Like, I know that people on the other side of the argument here are trying to say that these are just small, isolated incidents. Oh, there's just one swastika flag that every single media outlet is focusing on. Oh, there's just one Confederate flag that every single media outlet is focusing on. Oh, there's just one 3%er that every single media is focusing on. When, like, this is a summary of a whole bunch of things that are taking place, many of them just objectively horrifying, including trying to assault someone who's going to a shelter to get fed and being hurled racist insults, people attacking things simply because they have pride flags on them. "My personal experience today was having to drive home from Quebec. Disgusting. My kids were in shock. This is not my Canada." "The Reduce Center, a major shopping center near the protest site and subject of an organized maskless shopping trip, will remain closed for the third day. On Saturday, a flood of convoy participants descended on the downtown building, demanding to be served, forcing its closure. Road blockages have led to the city's public transportation provider to issue warnings to passengers to expect delays, while several vaccination clinics, including one at Ottawa University, have closed as a result of the event. OC Transport canceled all services to the downtown area effectively. Ottawa City Councilor Catherine McKinney told her Twitter followers that they received hundreds of complaints from residents who were tired and frightened of what they're experiencing in their neighborhood. According to the operations commander from the Ottawa Paramedic Service, an ambulance was pelted with rocks. Paramedic checking the damage was called racial slurs by the convoy participants. Ottawa paramedics have since requested a police escort, citing safety concerns. More public ire was raised when pictures surfaced of a monument dedicated to the commemoration of Terry Fox was showed draped in protest flags and made to hold an inverted Canadian flag, a sign of distress. Protesters have since cleaned the statue, with some online reports including blame directed at Antifa for all this." Of course, this is all Antifa. Both PPC leader Maxime Bernier and Ontario member of provincial parliament and leader of the de facto Ontario arm of the PPC, Randy Hillier, spoke on Saturday. They actually went there and spoke, choosing to stand on a small platform closer to the parliament rather than building the flatbed truck that would serve as a stage for Saturday and Sunday. Hillier has been a leading member of the No More Lockdown since early in the pandemic, historically a strike organizer since his early political career. COVID-19 has seen him thrown in with the Plaid Army, and more specifically with Jeremy McKenzie, a former combat veteran and the most popular live streamer from the collective. Both McKenzie and Derek Harrison quietly attended the protest site on Sunday, choosing to avoid having this already well-publicized presence to become a distraction the day before. McKenzie instead appeared as a guest on the Alex Jones InfoWars, of course. Photos show Maxime Bernier visiting a pair of the hotel room over the course of the weekend. Bernier has repeatedly associated with the Diaglon Plaid Army streamers, who have recently shifted from sharing online threats and anti-Semitic content to focusing on the creation of a localized in-person meetup group for their supporters. McKenzie specifically has not spoken about the inevitability of a race war and domestic conflict, but has previously claimed that is already occurring in the United States. Christopher James Pitchford, host of A Warrior Calls, also appeared on the stage on Sunday. So a lot of the keynote speakers happen to be members of very far-right extreme radical organizations in Canada. So, like, again, if you're trying to distance yourself from this entire thing, if you're trying to be like, well, these are just isolated incidents, these are just a few bad apples, but the vast majority of them, they're just truckers and family men and family women, and it's just a bunch of good old boys heading down to Ottawa just to protest mandates. They're not anti-vaccine, they're anti-mandates, okay? That's what this is all about. When the people who are speaking on stage happen to have direct associations with far-right organizations in this country. A proponent of an extremely convoluted pseudo-legal philosophy that falls within the sovereign citizen movement, he denies this association. Pritchard's speech included familiar assertions that the legal system does not apply to individuals due to his nonsensical but confident interpretation of the law. His speech on the Hill, however, comes shortly after he made multiple anti-Semitic statements about global Jewish conspiracies online. This includes mention that Hitler was destroying the Jesuit central bankers, and warning that Jewish Satanists are controlling global financial systems. Again, this is the fucking speaker at one of these events. According to the convoy participants themselves, they are not moving until their demands are met. While the issue becomes broader on the ground, the current Memorandum of Understanding posted an organization of Unity Canada's website and details what they are looking for. Cease and desist all unconstitutional, discriminatory, and segregating actions on the human rights violation. It calls for an immediate instruction to all levels of federal, provincial, territorial, and municipal governments to not only stop but furthermore waive all SARS-CoV-2, but not limited to SARS-CoV-2 subsequent variation, fines that have been issued and imposed upon citizens, institutions, and private enterprise. Further, to immediately reinstate all employees in all branches of the level of government, but not limited to promoting the same private industry and institutional sector employees for full lawful employment rights prior to wrongful and unlawful dismissals. Lastly, it instructs all levels of government and private sector to let the illegal use of vaccine passports to cease and desist immediately. And one of the other sad things in relation to all of this happens to be the fact that, like, there are people involved in this, and even truckers involved in this, who I do not think are racists. In fact, I would say a lot of them are not just like anti-Semitic, far-right Zionist conspiracy theories kind of idea stuff. But at the end of the day, they are being taken in by an organization who's, again, a lot of key members and key spokesmen, and Pat King, the motherfucking guy who talks about the superiority of the Anglo-Saxon race because of bloodlines, are involved in organizing. Like, It doesn't matter if it's grown to a point now where it encompasses a lot of people who might not believe those things. If some of the key organizers and some of the people, one of the people who was involved in starting the GoFundMe is a member of the Wexit movement. Again, a far right organization in Canada. And this is the thing that I think, like, the media is completely glossing over. The media is just like, racists, flags, you know, and that's giving plausible deniability to people like Lauren Southern, who are like, no, not all racists, not all swastikas, you know, hashtag not all swastikas. They're not all bad people. They're not all far-right extremists, okay? There are just a bunch of regular Canadians who are tired of all these draconian measures, and they want the lockdowns to end. That's what we're looking for, you know? Our early reporting found that not only did the multi-million dollar fundraising organizer Tamara Lynch have a hand in previous extremely similar pre-COVID convoy, she was an organizer and self-identified yellow vest who has made Islamophobic statements and posts to social media. This lines up closely with the statements of the man who added to the GoFundMe the week before the convoy arrived in Ottawa, Benjamin B.J. Ditcher, a former Conservative candidate who defected to the PPC. The Conservative Party of Canada is suffering from the stench of cultural relativism and political Islam. It is suffering from the stench of extremism in the same way third world countries suffer from extremist groups, separatist groups, community, communist guerrilla factions, paramilitaries, organized crime, and more. In the same speech, he also noted that his belief is that Islamic entryism is rotting away our society like syphilis. So just like absolutely stunning. So in the midst of all this, if you didn't know, Erin O'Toole, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, has kind of thrown all his chips into this. He's done a conservative political ad where he's talking about truckers and how they are the backbone of the Canadian economy and that they are necessary for our supply lines and that Justin Trudeau hates truckers and all this kind of stuff, and didn't really do a lot of research into this organization and is now suffering a little bit because of it. But he's also facing a revolt, and his own party is now trying to oust him, which is what I was going to play.
Leader Erin O'Toole facing a revolt from within his own caucus and an upcoming vote that could determine his political fate. Nearly a third of Conservative MPs have signed a letter calling for a leadership review. That's enough to trigger a secret ballot vote expected tomorrow, Wednesday.
If hey, Rhinestone, thank you.
Conservative MPs go
appreciate
against
it.
Him, O'Toole will be forced to step down and make way for an interim party leader. He says he's not giving up without a fight. We'll get to the statement that he issued late last night, but there's Janice McGregor in Ottawa with the details of the story and the revolt, who is behind it, who is involved in it, and why it's happening now.
Let's be frank, Heather. Some people close to Erin O'Toole believe that he should have actually called this vote himself months ago to prevent other people from seizing the agenda here. But what was a lot of backroom grumbling is now official, is now public. This letter worth 35 Conservative MP signatures on it, delivered to caucus chair Scott Reed, looking for that secret ballot vote on Wednesday. It would be interesting to see. We are supposed to have that letter released to the public, the exact wording of their call for this putting of the leader's position in question. Interesting to see their precise rationale. Of course, they had a very difficult caucus meeting last week, going over the postmortem from their election loss last fall. In the aftermath of that, it did become apparent that there had been a push underway, I understand, for weeks to gather these signatures. And after the Globe and Mail first went with the story last night, you could kind of see on Twitter some pretty calculated statements. The first one out there from Calgary MP Bob Benson. Now, why is he interesting? Well, he had supported Erin O'Toole in past leadership races, but now he was sharing a laundry list, really, of things he felt had gone wrong. Instances of what he portrayed as flip-flops and questionable judgment. He said it was time to now start looking at the leader critically based on his performance and saying...
Lance, in your opinion, is the Conservative Party as full of fascists as the Republican Party is? There are certainly MPs who have... let's just say some very far-right beliefs. I would say as a whole, the Conservative Party is closer to a centrist party than the PPC is in Canada. O'Toole tried to govern from the center, which is why a lot of people said the whole thing was a disaster. He made the critical mistake of believing in global warming and then trying to make that a part of the Conservative Party platform, saying that conservatives also believe in global warming. And that that resulted in a lot of people being really, really upset at him.
The party has given O'Toole more than enough chances to have a course correction here. And then later in the evening, after O'Toole's office, began suggesting that Garnet Genuis, who is an Edmonton area MP, was actually the organizer of this push.
Yeah, even JJ.
Genuis took to Twitter to deny that he was, but to admit that he is one of the 35 signatories. And he said that this group, you know, shouldn't be portrayed as just a single issue faction of social conservatives or people with an axe to grind. They do represent.
But do I think the Conservative Party is going to go further right now? Absolutely, I do. I think that'll be the next wave. I think they realized with Erin O'Toole that governing or trying to govern from the center, basically being like almost trying to be the equivalent of Trudeau's Liberals, just wasn't working for them.
He said a broad section of opinion in the party, and he called on O'Toole to realize that his position is untenable. But is it really? Because there is another faction in the party that also wrote to the caucus chair asking for this question to be put to a vote so it could be settled. In their case, they wanted it called because they believe there are enough MPs in this caucus for O'Toole to win the vote, to stay on as leadership, as leader, at least until the grassroots have their chance to have their say at the party's convention, which isn't until August of 2023. We know different riding associations are starting to weigh in with leadership concerns, but there's some feeling that it should be that process that decides this, not a revolt inside caucus. So, which of these factions has a better read on the true hearts and minds of Conservative MPs? We're going to find out tomorrow when the vote is called.
There must be lots of phone calls going back and forth at this point, Janice. One would imagine as everyone proceeds in this situation ahead of that vote expected tomorrow. Erin O'Toole himself releasing a long statement on social media last night. What is he saying about this so far?
Yeah, very interesting, right? Because presumably the two sides have their lists as they try and figure out how this vote's going to go. But a pretty confident statement from Erin O'Toole last night, whatever you want to read into that, he portrayed the party as looking at two roads. And he has laid out this choice before, the fact that on the one hand, they could choose a path that he said would be angry, negative, extreme, a dead end. Or on the other hand, they could choose a path that would be more representative of Canada in 2022, he said, and recognize that conservatism now needs to be what he called organic, not static. This is a pitch he has made to the party before. O'Toole insisted he's not going anywhere, he's not turning back, but he agreed that it is time for a reckoning, and he said he would abide by the results of this vote. And he reminded the signatories and suggested that they'll need to as well.
Wild stuff going on in this country. Man. And now the RCMP have retreated. What? Well, that was an eventful 10 minutes. Could you imagine what would have happened if there were Indigenous land defenders instead of white supremacist fascists? Jason Kenney, Justin Trudeau, you sent the RCMP and now you have a bigger problem. Keep up with these blockades. We'll just keep multiplying. Wow. Okay, I gotta be honest. I gotta check out. Rebel News has gotta be doing the most wild coverage of this whole event. A political earthquake at the Freedom Convoy. Yep, exactly what I expected.
Well, most of Parliament has fled. Justin Trudeau is in hiding. Who knows if he's even in the country? He's probably in the Bahamas. But one of the MPs who's here today, walking around talking to people, is our friend Leslyn Lewis, the Conservative Member of Parliament from Haldimand, Norfolk. What a pleasure to have you.
Nice to be here. Nice to see you again, Ezra.
Well, likewise. Did I say the name of your riding correctly?
It took 20 seconds or so to find a don't step on SNCC flag right on the back here. But they don't represent us, okay? They don't represent us.
See you again, Ezra.
Well, likewise. Did I say the name of your riding correctly?
You sure did.
Okay, well, that's great. The first thing I want to say is, why are you here? Other MPs have chosen to avoid it, even to criticize it. Why did you decide to come?
I think any time the people have spoken, that it's our obligation to listen to the people who pay our salaries. So I think it's very important that we're here, that we listen to the concerns, that we meet them, and that we hear what's on their hearts.
One of the things that the establishment has said about the convoy is that it's immoral in some way. It's either racist or sexist, extremist or violent. What are your observations?
Well, that's what they say to keep good people away, because good people wouldn't want to be associated with those labels. So they throw out those labels so that people will be afraid to stand up for their democratic rights. What I've seen family members, I've seen young children, I've seen people picking up garbage so that they don't have, so that the city doesn't have to come and do it. I've seen people bringing latrines so that they could have a place to use the washroom. I've seen people by the side of the road making food for strangers. I've seen brother and sisterly love, and I've seen people fight for their democracy, and I've seen people stand up and tell the government that they've gone too far, and that is their democratic right to do so.
In the background, you can hear the drumming of indigenous drums. There has been a large Aboriginal contingent here. Even the organizer of the convoy herself is a Métis woman. You use the word unity. I feel that too. Do you think there's...
I got to bring attention to this because it's been talked about a bit. There's a bunch of organizations in Canada that go under the label of Pretendians, and unfortunately, they usually fall under the banner of the Métis. There are legitimate, provincially recognized and federally recognized organizations that are Métis orgs that when you want to join them, such as the one that I joined, they have to do an entire family lineage on you. As in, like, when I joined that organization, I had to provide documents that showed my ancestry all the way down the line to my, like, great-great-great-great-grandma, who could speak Cree and all this other kind of stuff. I had to demonstrate that before they would approve it. It wasn't just like, oh, you pay a certain amount of money and you get a license. There are orgs, and there's a lot of them in Eastern Canada that have been called out for this, that just give you a Métis card by virtue of you paying, like, $20 to $200, and that's it. And it's become a huge controversy in this country where you will see people who claim to be like, oh, well, I'm indigenous and they look as white as I do. And then all of a sudden everyone's like, wait, what? But okay, interesting. And can you tell me a little bit about your background? It's like, oh, well, you know, it's a vibe. It's a vibe. I've been vibing, you know?
Almost a new political coalition that's being fused here, because there's people here who have never been political before, who probably would have voted for Justin Trudeau in 2015. Is something new taking shape here?
Oh, absolutely. This transcends partisan politics. This is about freedoms. This is about choice. This is about your...
Is it Métis specifically Western Canada thing? No, the Métis people can... The origins and a lot of the original Métis bands were a combination of French settlers and Cree or other indigenous people. You could locate yourself in any part of Canada and have Métis ancestry. Like that, where your lineage comes from isn't as important as like being able to demonstrate it. That's why, again, there are organizations that are recognized both by the province, because people do take advantage of these systems and they try to use it for a variety of reasons. Honestly, as a shield, which is a really fucked up thing. And look at the tokenization going on as well.
And did you know there's something called the Sikh Freedom Alliance? I didn't know about it. Now I do, and now you do. Take a look.
Hello, everybody. Sikh Freedom Alliance here. And we are very close to Ottawa now. And I want to speak something before we get there. Truth and freedom has no race or color. And Sikhs are brought up to expose oppression and fight tyranny. And I want to say something. If somebody wants to go take a vaccine, they can go take a vaccine. But don't force it on anybody. And Trudeau and Jagmeet is calling us, everybody here, terrorists. They are the real terrorists. And yes, we don't agree with them. Let's go!
Woo-hoo! White supremacist thing. I just want to play a clip for you of what they said. Pretty weak stuff. Take a look. Worker convoy was organized, I swear I'm not making this up, by Vladimir Putin. Just take a look at this.
I do ask that because, given Canada's support of Ukraine in this current crisis with Russia, I don't know if it's far-fetched to ask, but there is concern that Russian actors could be continuing to fuel things.
Libs, how are you fucking this up? How are the liberals fucking this up so badly? Are you kidding me? Yeah, now every single one of you looks ridiculous. You're fucking doing the whole Russiagate, but in Canada. It's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a little bit suspect. I don't know. Have you traced any of them? These anonymous donors. Now, could it be the Kremlin? We'll never know.
As this protest grows, but perhaps even instigating it from the outset.
Oh, fucking liberals. Like, this is what pissed me off so much about Justin Trudeau. I was like, this whole thing is a freebie politically for you. You have, like, a group that is representing less than 10% of truckers. There's a whole bunch of hate groups associated with this, far-right extremist groups associated with this, including organizers, including funding agents. It would be very, very easy for you to take the right side of this entire thing and come forward and just condemn certain aspects of it. And instead, Justin Trudeau came out and was like, we condemn extremism on the far left and on the far right. And then you see stuff like this where they're like, well, it seems to me a little bit suspect. Could the Kremlin be involved? Are there Russian agents infiltrating Canada in some way or another?
Well, again, I'm going to defer to our partners in the public safety, the trained officials and experts in that area.
You know, the CBC looks down their nose at people, calls them conspiracy theorists.
And it's a gift. Look, it's a gift to Ezra Klein. Like, you have given this man a massive gift, man. By the way, did any of you see the phone call I made to Ezra Klein where I pretended I was from Fox News? And I told him that there was a new Fox News show that was going to be with him and Meghan McCain. And would he be interested in becoming a host? And he was all giddy about it. And then I was like, yeah, it's about getting rid of safe spaces. We want to eliminate all safe spaces. So we're thinking about calling it something like space stalking. Would you be involved or interested in space stalking? He's like, oh, that's very, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I'm definitely, it's very unique that you called me directly about this. Normally people go through other channels, but yeah, so this would be on Fox News, space talking? He's like, yeah, space talking on Fox News. You'd be pretty heavy-handed into that whole space talking scene.
I have never heard anyone say anything as kooky as Vladimir Putin organized. I mean, that's Sasquatch stuff. That's UFO stuff. That's Loch Ness Monster conspiracy theories. That's Justin Trudeau.
And it's a gift. It's liberals. You just gave the conservatives and the far right a gift there. It's like, yeah, okay, now the whole thing looks ridiculous. See? Yeah, people are saying... And you see how he frames this whole thing? This is actually very important. This is a lesson in the cover they're doing. The first half of this is talking about all... Okay, first off, they do... by the way, there are people of color who are part of this part of this protest, as you can clearly see here. The next one is look at these Antifa members who are saying that there are far right extremists involved in this. Look how silly they look. Let's find some, like, blue-haired social justice warriors to make fun of. And then let's see what the people in the mainstream TV are saying. What are the liberals saying, suggesting that this could have ties to Putin, which of course looks ridiculous. And now that gives them the bow on the whole thing to be like, yeah, this whole thing isn't what you think it is. Come on.
Terry Fox statue desecrated. Well, I don't think it was really sacred to begin with, but desecrated. It wasn't spray painted. It wasn't decapitated. It wasn't knocked over. And in fact, that was...
And now they're doing the whataboutism with the residential schools again. I'm probably going to show footage of it. Yeah, here we go.
When actual statues of John A. Macdonald, our founding father of Confederation, were toppled and decapitated. Take a look at this.
Hey, what's up? With the most amount of disrespect intended, thank you. How come your side doesn't get off your asses and get out there with the workers? Or whining about how conservative media personalities all the leftists now. Trust me, I'm definitely on the complaint side that, like, you know, there has to be a lot more direct action. On that, I would directly agree with you. And disrespect accepted.
Now, I knew that these...
All right, so if you all want to know, because I often talk about how Sir John A. Macdonald was a white supremacist and that he spoke about the superiority of the Aryan race, here's a quote from Sir John A. Macdonald, the founder of Canada, apparently. He said, if the Chinese came in great numbers and settled on the Pacific coast, they might control the vote of the whole province, and they would send Chinese representatives to sit here, who would represent Chinese eccentricities, Chinese immorality, Asiatic principles, altogether the opposite of our wishes. And in the balance of the parties, they might enforce those Asiatic principles, those immoralities, these eccentricities, which are abhorrent to the Aryan race and Aryan principles on this house. The Aryan races will not wholesomely amalgamate with the Africans or the Asiatics. Chinese exclusion is necessary to hold the house. The Aryan character and the future of British America should be destroyed.
Truckers were ordinary people, severely normal people. And I'm a Jew who's lived in Canada for 49 years, and I have to tell you, I've been to 9 provinces and 2 territories, and I have never seen a Nazi flag, a Nazi incident in my life. 49 years I've been crisscrossing Canada. I think I've traveled more than most. I just simply have never, ever seen it. And I go...
Well, case closed, everybody. We have confirmation there. There's no such thing as racism in this country. We did it. We solved it. It's over. So you've just been listening to an episode of The Surf Times. And if you enjoy it and want to see The Surf Times, you can go to wearesurfs.com or watch the live shows at thesurfs.tv. And also everywhere social media is sold, basically thesurfs.tv, you'll find us there. Twitter.com/thesurfstv, for example. It would also help us out tremendously if you could leave a good review of this podcast if you enjoyed it, either on, I don't know, iTunes or wherever you're podcasting. Apparently it does help. And yeah, we hope to see you soon.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Just, we beseech thee to smite down our enemies. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your humble court jesters, here to amuse you. To our lords, Trevor R., we give thanks for this spit of land for us to eke out this meager existence. To our knights, Merid, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruby Kelly, Ellie Leslie, Alex P., Brandon, Words Greenwood, Nate, that one guy, Hagbird Celine, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Daniel Sutton, Coulter Smith, Val 9000, Jenna Tall, Quiet 185, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodle Hawk, The Tim Caucus, Multi Mondi, Trevor Yanis, Lemmy 101, Anthropofojack, Cern 42, Catherine, Radical Maniac, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Violent Orchard, Sophie Baby, Political Puppy, Andreas Chiringuito, Zach Christensen, Josh Mickelson, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We raise our flag in a veil, and we salute you, our friends.
When systems go down, when tickets pile up, and your best tech walks out the door, what does all that really cost you? At CBT Nuggets, we help IT teams stay sharp, confident, and certified with online training that's built for the real world. From cybersecurity to cloud, our expert-led courses help your team close skill gaps before they turn into business risks. Invest in your team. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and unlock training that makes your team sharper and your system stronger.